final hour of our final Character Concerns NFL Draft special of the season. Our NFL Draft coverage here on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. From here, for wherever you are, that's the benefit of blue. So we talked about, you know, early on the show about the 49ers taking Dejon Stribling, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss, who was previously at Oklahoma State before that. So, you know, not too far from here. But one of the media members there asked John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan after the draft about, quote unquote, reaching on players. Because, you know, they don't really like stick to what would be the like natural, like national, like consensus draft board, if you will. And, you know, every year we talk about players, you know, where they're drafted or whatnot. We talk about, you know, who was a reach, who was a steal, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, John Lynch made this great point, and we actually played a clip from Ryan Nutt earlier talking about, you know, whether or not you are deciding on picks ahead of time or you pick best available based on what your board is at that time. And I don't know how you feel about this, Bink, but like, do you put a lot of stock in the national consensus board versus like, you know, trusting that teams have their own board valuations and decide on value based on their own prerogatives as opposed to seeing a Mel Kiper's big board and saying, let's just go off of that?
No, you find the guy that you like as a fit. I remember Tariq Woolen. And just from personal deal, I had Tariq
Woolen. You were a big Tariq Woolen guy.
I didn't go in like the second round.
Yeah.
6'4 corner with, you know,
4'2 something.
Yeah, like in the 4'2 range. Yeah. In 40s, it's simply ridiculous. And he ends up going in the fifth. And I was thinking, all right, the 6'4 corner, this huge wingspan with that kind of speed. I mocked him a second. Someone said, well, what are you putting Tariq Woolen up that far? And I said, well, I think he's good. And clearly, you know, the Eagles have him now.
Yeah.
He had
a nice little career with the Seahawks. Yeah.
So beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And again, if Trey Smith would have been taken in the second round or third round, you and a lot of people would have said,
reach.
Oh man, it's
reach.
A total reach. Now you're looking at this
big
guy,
risk.
You know, as an all-pro caliber player, the highest paid player to his position. But it would have been seen as a reach. No, if you're convicted on a player, whatever round you snag him in, it doesn't. Is Mahomes the 10th pick in the draft? No.
No. He was thought to be late first, early
is
second.
Is Lamar Jackson the 32nd pick in the draft like he was? No.
No, he probably would have been a second-round pick. He probably would have been well into the second round before he got taken if we went by consensus board.
Is Brock Purdy Mr. Irrelevant? No.
Yeah, he might go higher. He might get undrafted.
But a guy going to a quarterback, going to the Super Bowl is Mr. Relevant. I mean, but again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah, and this is the reason why like I actually like
Tom Brady going to the sixth.
I mean, I respect what, you know, Lynch was saying because I think that's how you should operate as a team. Like, I know there's a lot of media members that kind of got, you know, a little butthurt about the comments and, oh, well, you should stick to the consensus because that's, well, who determines that value? It's media. It's not the
it's like
team.
Like Trey Lance, what he did, that's people listening to the outside.
Like, this is the reason why I always say, like, and throughout this entire process, like, we've had, like, multiple people come out and, you know, tell us, well, we want this player to the Chiefs because he's a really good player and he's at a position of need. And we always were like, yeah, but that player doesn't really fit the kind of guys they typically go for. You know, we talked about that with Edge. Now, obviously,
Reuben Bain was the big one.
Yeah, Reuben Bain was the big one because, you know, he's got T-Rex arms. And you know, we were like, hey, you know, he's really not their kind of fit. Like, I understand the explosiveness. I understand the power. But, you know, it's like, man, he ain't explosive enough to be able to overcome the arm length issue that he has because it's so catastrophically bad.
And maybe he does, but is it worth top 10?
Yeah, is it worth? But that's the thing is that you don't know.
Yeah.
That's the reason why it's really
top 10
risk.
Picks, I don't think you look at it enough.
Yeah, like he's much safer at 15 than he was at 9. And the thing that really kind of concerned me about, you know, that really concerned me about that is because, you know, the value probably is, if it's not there, if he's just mediocre edge rusher who can stop the run and is okay pass rusher, he's not worth the top 10. And that's a big risk there because you're expecting him to be the outlier of outliers. So I always say this, like, trust your board. Trust your players that you value. Well, don't.
Somebody, I remember JSN earlier, yeah. 20th pick. 22nd was Justin Jefferson. Are they better than that? Was Randy Moss
remember
better
Jalen than that Rager pick? Went ahead of Justin yeah. Jefferson yeah. in that very same
what
draft.
Was Randy Moss like 21?
Something like that. Yeah,
but
something
again,
like that.
If that's your guy, who cares if you get him at number 12 or number 13? You don't have to wait till you're told to take them.
Yeah, and I always think like fans are like, he wouldn't have gone for another 20 picks.
Well, like, how do you know?
If you don't pick for another 20 picks, then you wouldn't have had another shot at him either.
Yeah, so, and the next year, go back and look at who those 20 picks were before him, yeah. and it's laughable.
And it's always like, how do you know?
You because don't. Nobody does.
Yeah, because if you clearly have one team willing to take that player in that spot, all it takes is any other team being willing to take them in that spot, and that's what that player's value is. Like, that's always whenever I hear people say, well, he wouldn't have gone there, it was like, we don't know that. Like, we don't – maybe other teams were just as high on Dejon Stribling as the 49ers were. We don't know that. That's the reason why I always, like the whole, like, that's a reach or whatever. It's like, maybe, maybe not. We don't know. Like, you can't definitively say that.
Well, there gets to be this buzz and this stature about picks, and if you miss on them or you whiff on them, you got to take them. Mitch Trubisky's one of those guys.
Yeah.
Like, there had to have been questions in front offices about it, but you got to take this guy. You can't pass on this guy. And I think some people start to believe that, and they do things that they shouldn't do.
Well, I think for the Bears it was different because what we heard from whoever the GM was at the time, he was convinced that – he had drafted the next Drew Brees. Like, he had conviction with that Trubisky pick, so much so that he made a pointless trade up one spot with the 49ers
but
to go get
him. GMs and stuff worry about the fact that they pass on somebody.
Yeah,
people are going
to
criticize
yeah.
him heavily. He's like, just let it play out.
Like, this is the reason why I'm not mad about the Chiefs trading up to get Mansoor Delane, because they believed that he would not make it to them at 9, and they really coveted him. If you have him above the other guy, because, like, clearly, like, there's, you know, there was a texter on the text line earlier, like, oh, all right, they should have taken Caleb Downs at 9. It was like, maybe they thought there was a big divide between Mansoor Delane and Caleb Downs. And if that's what you believe, you should stick to your board. Don't go out here and deal with public perception. You have an entire scouting team that you pay to watch these kids, to talk to people around these kids, and to do all the dirty work, all the homework. And if you do all of that, and you come to the conclusion that this player is better than this, then player A is better than player B, then draft player A.
And here's the only other unknown. You're tucked away in college. You are the dude. Everybody looks at you, right? And now all of a sudden you're with an NFL team, and you're no longer that top dog anymore. How are you adjusting to the millions? Not that you may have got it for nil, but how are you adjusting to the money? Do you fit in the system? Does the NFL just overpowering you because you look at everybody you're seeing is strong and fast? It's much different to college. You get to the pros, everybody's at an elite level. Can those players make that adjustment going from college to pro? There's just so many of those unknowns like that. That's where the culture fit comes in. Hey, this guy did great at Cincinnati in college. Will he do well in the NFL? Is he going to do well in the AFC West? Like, he does great there in the Big 12, but what's he going to do in the AFC West?
Yeah, and again, those boards, those consensus draft boards, if you will, are just guesses. That's all they are. It's just, we're guessing. And a lot of those guys who do those boards copy other people's boards. Like, yeah,
when Kuiper comes out with his top 10, there'll be other, like, if Kuiper mocks Kenyon Sadiq, let's say, to the Chiefs a long time ago, there'll be 7 or 8.
Or even Dane Brugler, too, now. Because Dane Brugler has kind of become, I think right now, Dane Brugler is probably, like, at the very top because of the beast and everything.
We saw a ton of this with the Chiefs with Jeremiah Love.
Yeah.
Somebody put him on there, then.
Next thing you know, half more than half of the 25 most recent ones.
Yeah, Reuben Bain became
Reuben Bain became the consensus guy, and then like later on, we started to see like a mix between him and Mansoor Delane, and then Delane became the top guy. But like, it's just a lot of guys are copying other people, and you know that's the reason why I love our mocks.
That's always like the outliers, the ones that.
That's why I love our mocks, because we don't copy those boards. We pick who we think is the best fit for the Chiefs.
It was hard to find a Mekhi Lemon.
Because remember, we never mocked Reuben Bain to the Chiefs a single time.
No.
Not one time. We didn't even, if you go back, you listen to
him. Or Jeremiah Love.
We didn't even discuss Reuben Bain. And there were, and now granted, on those mocks, Love and Bain weren't available on the early ones, but on the later ones, they, well, not Love, but Bain was available on like the last two we did, I believe. and we didn't take him because we were like, we were adamant. He's not a fit.
I don't think we even had Jeremiah Love even before Walker.
No, we never did. No, because I personally do not believe in taking a running back in the top 10. It's just my personal belief that running back, there is no running back that you can take that is worth a receiver worthy of a top 10 pick, a quarterback worthy of a top 10 pick, a tackle, an edge rusher, a corner. Those are positions way more valuable. Like even Arvell Reese, if he just becomes an off-ball linebacker, I think. If he's a great off-ball linebacker in that fifth overall, I think he's a better value than Jeremiah Love at three because of the fact that linebackers, I think, can make more impactful plays that win you games than running backs do. Whereas a running back, like, you need a lot of other things around the running back to win.
Just like I said, only four of the top 10 running backs for the
playoffs. And also, in order for your running back to be good, you have to have at least a passable offensive line. Yeah. Like, if your offensive line is trash, then the running back is severely affected by that. Like, you know, I was reading this book here recently. It's called Take Your Eye Off the Ball by Pat Kerwin, who's friends with your guy, Pete Carroll. And, you know, he said, like, the offensive line sets the floor for your running game, and then your running back sets the ceiling of it. And I think that's a really good point there. And it's like, if that's the case, then, you know, why are you drafting your running back in the top 10 when you need a good offensive line in front of them in order for them to be any good? You know, we saw that with Genty last year.
Speaking of Pete Carroll, in his book, he had wrote Trust. If you can't trust that safety or you can't trust that corner and you have to know you're going to have to go over and help them, good football teams earn that trust where I can trust you're going to do your job and I don't have to help you do it. That's when teams become good, when they can trust a guy to be a two-gapper and keep guys off the linebackers to flow and make plays. If you can't trust the guy in front of you or the guy playing out the corner, you're not going to be a good team.
Yeah, and that's the reason why chemistry is so important. You got to have good personalities that mix together. And, you know, we had heard it, I think you brought up during one of the breaks here recently about Michael Trigg, because we know that Jackson does his top 100, his top 100 board, and Michael Trigg was the only player you didn't get in that top 100.
Character concerns might have been an issue.
And that's the thing, is like stuff like that, we don't know about it. Sometimes it gets out, but a lot of times we don't know about
it. Because the why. Why wasn't a guy taken?
Yeah.
There's got to be a reason. You find reasons.
Especially for someone as talented as he is. Yeah. Like, you got to be a reason that makes sense.
There's always
now
a why.
That makes sense now. So, I thought that was intriguing, like, seeing that clip from Lynch and Shanahan and seeing, like, yesterday there was all of this discourse about the consensus boards for national media. And it's like, none of these teams care about those consensus boards because they build their own boards from scratch based on who they think are the best players.
I felt they bought in too much of the hype on Trey Lance when they made that move for him. They were buying the consensus.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. I think they did too. Maybe they watched tape.
They
and
might
they just,
say they did, but they bought
maybe
into
they,
it.
Maybe they watched tape and they were like, hey, we think this guy's going to be incredible.
Dude had played one game his last year because of the COVID.
Right, but like maybe they saw enough tape that were like, we really like this guy, and maybe that's why. But like, obviously, that conviction was wrong, and they certainly with COVID being a big factor there, it's like maybe you should be skeptical about some of these players. You know, like Zach Wilson, you know, maybe you should be skeptical about Zach Wilson when he played nobody his final year in college there. So, I thought that was an interesting topic there. Coming up next, we will talk about some of the undrafted free agents that the Chiefs brought in.
You're listening to the Character Concerns Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by Gann Asphalt and Concrete. Trusted in Kansas City since 1994. One contractor for all parking lot needs. By the Leavenworth PD. Step up. Stand out. Build your career at Leavenworth PD. Apply online today at leavenworthks.gov/police. This is your home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
Getting into the undrafted free agent signings that the Chiefs have made. Now, the Chiefs haven't announced any of these officially because I still think they have to – there's like a whole process that they have to go through.
Yeah, you'll
to
see get these the schools release them and stuff. Yeah. You'll see the names on Twitter and everything else, but Teams do not talk about it.
Yeah, teams – literally, and Ryan Nutt was asked about that earlier this morning, and he was like, we can't make any official announcements, you know, because we haven't done any official announcements. So we can't confirm anybody yet, but we really like our UDFA class. So – but – one of the interesting things, because like these signings happen right at the end of the draft. Like as soon as the draft is done, like all the insiders just start reporting all the guys that signed.
That's why Veach doesn't talk at the end of the draft.
He's trying to sign some players.
One of the teams that did the best at it was the Seattle Seahawks and John Schneider.
Yeah.
They used to come up with like pamphlets and stuff they'd send to the guys. This is why you need to go to our program. They had a lot of success with the undrafted free agents.
And it's a good thing too. Because with the undrafted system, like it's good for the players because you get to choose where you go.
It's better to be an undrafted free agent
than be like a seventh round pick.
Absolutely.
And you can get more guaranteed money on your
it's
on that contract
money
too.
And you choose where you're going.
Yeah. So it's a good obviously I'm sure for the pride of these players, it sucks to not be drafted. It sucks to have that undrafted, you know, label next to your name.
But you get that chip on your shoulder, though.
And yeah, you get that chip on your shoulder, and you go out here and you can use that as motivation to help further your game. But one of the interesting things about it was just how athletic the guys that they're bringing in. Like we talked about this, you know, throughout the weekend. Chiefs are very obviously focusing on athleticism, speed. They're trying to get guys who are at peak athleticism on their roster. One of the biggest reasons why the guys that they went after, Mansoor Delane is known to be an incredible athlete, 4.35 40 speed. What was his name? R. Mason Thomas, known for his explosion off the line. Peter Woods, known for his explosion off the line. He looks like he's teleporting. Sometimes that's how quick his feet are. And, so it's kind of different. There is you sign UDFAs, but there's also guys you invite to rookie camp,
like Diego Pavia. He got invited to
the Ravens camp, which
but then you said he's like 3 days and you're back. He's being gone.
That's what I'm saying. He's signed with them. He's probably going to be playing in Canada this summer. I think he. Because I think was
or
it the Argonauts,
St. Louis Battlehawks.
Maybe he could be. He could UFL, be the UFL. Yeah. I think he's probably going to end up. Maybe you know what? I think maybe he plays Canada this year because I think the Argonauts have his rights. And then maybe next year he goes UFL, depending on how that works out.
Or selling for State Farm.
Yeah, he might be selling insurance here pretty soon. But one of the guys that I think was really interesting, they brought in Jaden Ott, the Oklahoma running back. Obviously, he played for current Chiefs running back coach DeMarco Murray, the really, really fun running back that played for Arkansas and then eventually the Cowboys. And the Raiders, too. Hated him when he was with the Raiders. But Jaden Ott played there. He signed with the team, so that'll be really interesting there. I don't think he makes the team, but I think it is good to have him out there. He'll be fun to watch.
Yeah,
in
he's
preseason.
Been under talked about. People are talking a ton about Caldwell and stuff, the receiver. But
yeah.
Jaden Ott scored a touchdown in the Senior Bowl. He had a very good Senior Bowl, right? He was a transfer to Oklahoma from Cal. He actually led the Pac-12 in rushing a couple of years ago at 1,300 yards. It's funny because we know that Evan Johnson led the Big Ten in rushing this year. Jaden Ott actually led the Pac-12 in rushing. Now, it's not this Pac-12 now. It was the Pac-12 that's still at Oregon and at USC. But Jaden Ott's an interesting guy. It's funny because he didn't get 68 yards at Oklahoma? And his running back coach is DeMarco Murray. But must have liked him because he wouldn't end up here if he didn't.
Yeah, and, you know, it was funny. It's like, you brought up, there were some rumors that they didn't really get along, but...
Clearly, that's not the case.
Yeah, and it was funny because DeMarco Murray also put in a good word for R. Mason Thomas.
Yes, he did.
You know, different sides of the ball, but yeah, he did, you know, he did go out there, and they obviously asked him, you know, questions about him and whatnot, and he clearly did enough, gave him the kind of answers they needed to have to go out there and draft him. So another guy you brought up, Jeff Caldwell, the wide receiver from Cincinnati, teammate of fifth round pick for the Chiefs, Cyrus Allen. Interesting thing about him, he's 6'4".
6'5".
Well, he actually,
combine, he was 6'5 and 3/8".
Okay, they listed him as 6'4".
Yeah, this was combine and 216. This
and
was combine
216,
measure.
And then he ran a 4.3 140.
At that size.
At that size.
Keep this in mind. He left high school at 5'10".
Yeah.
You never see a guy go from 5'10 to 6'5, do you? Well, never.
Not that often.
I mean, when he goes to college at 5'10 and comes out 6'5 right now, it's insane.
Yeah, that's really interesting there to see that, you know, combination of size and speed out there. But the thing that I find really interesting, though, is like you watch his tape, he needs a lot of work separating.
No, he does. He does. We got a text about him earlier. Look, he played at Division II Lindenwood, right, before he goes to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Chris, look at these numbers. I mean, this is, you look at his size and his ability. His first year at Lindenwood, 8 catches. His second year at Lindenwood, 32 receptions. That actually led the team that year. His next year at Lindenwood, 53 receptions. And this past year at Cincinnati, 32. Translations, he's not used very much.
Yeah.
He wasn't even used. I mean, those aren't big catch numbers even at Lindenwood. It's not like he, you know, went out for, you know, 100 catches or 90 catches more. 53 was the high watermark for him at Lindenwood. Division II football, he had 32 for Cincinnati. So, yes, he's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got all these intangibles you want. The production doesn't match the skill sets to be enamored with.
Yeah, like I said,
if you think this is going to translate right away to the NFL, no.
No, he's definitely a project guy if he even makes the roster. Like, I don't want people to assume.
I like the kid. I love it. 6'5 and running that speed.
Come on. Yeah, but, and yeah, like I said, you watch that film. You know, it's funny. Somebody on the text line earlier compared him to Dwayne Bowe.
I saw it.
And I was like, man, if he's Dwayne Bowe, he's not going to work in the league. Because with that kind of speed, yeah, you should be able to get separation.
And we do have to remember something. If you're not drafted, there's usually a reason.
Yeah. Like I said, and it's because you watch the tape. He doesn't get much separation, and it's like you can't tell he's got 4.31 40 speed.
He did get himself to the combine, though.
Yeah. So like, I hope that he's able to, and maybe, you know, he's got a professional receivers coach now in Chad O'Shea, and he'll have other guys on his team. You know, he's like, what, 30, 40 pounds lighter than Travis Kelce, but, you know, maybe Kelce is going to, you know, he can help him as far as like, you know, developing the nuances of route running and whatnot.
Sure, the funny thing is Cyrus Allen didn't get invited to the combine. And Caldwell did.
And the interesting thing about Cyrus Allen.
They drafted Cyrus.
Cyrus Allen is a way better route runner. Like, if you took the route running of Cyrus Allen and gave that skill to Jeff Caldwell, he would have been a first-round pick based on those measurables.
That size and speed is
ridiculous. That's what I'm saying.
I get it. If you see that, all that stuff is great. And then you say, why doesn't a guy that big have more than 32 catches at Lindenwood?
Yeah, and it's because of the fact that, yeah, he's not he just doesn't have that skill right now to be a top-end player. They also signed Houston cornerback Zelmar Vetter. They brought in Pete Nigra, the center from Louisville. They brought in Chris Johnson's teammate, Bryce Phillips, the corner from San Diego State. Edge rusher Vincent Anthony Jr. from Duke. One guy that I thought was really interesting, local kid that played at Rockers, John Michael Gillenborg from Wyoming, tight end. Like I said, local kid played at Rockers. So I think that one.
I don't think he played a ton at Rockers either. Kind of,
yeah,
late developer. It's a good story. Yeah, great story. Glad they did it.
Which makes sense as to why he would end up at a school like Wyoming, because generally schools like that, you know, especially if you have someone who has talent to play, you know, in like the bigger power conferences, generally those guys were late bloomers in high school, and then you kind of have to work your way up. But, you know, he was at the Senior Bowl. I honestly wasn't that impressed with him at the Senior Bowl, but I do think that it was I do think they have an interesting crop of players here. Xavier Wongpa, the safety from Iowa, is another name I think that is interesting. And then Wesley Bizanth, the linebacker from Miami. Like I said, I like – they also got in – what's his name? Emmitt Smith's son, E.J. Smith, from Texas A&M. They brought him in as well. So, like I said, don't put too much stock. You know how every year we talk about, like, the camp darling types. And Caldwell will be
100%
a guy that – everyone is talking about a camp
he'll
because of the
somebody
measurable.
In camp, and it'll be a defensive back that will make the team, and it'll happen.
And then he's going to be the Tyler Bray,
he'll
Aaron
be the
Murray,
next Justin Ross.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. He will be the next Justin Ross, and everybody will convince themselves that he's going to be a great receiver because of the measurables and all that. And, you know,
like I say, Garrett Nussmeier's got to throw over 250 in the third preseason game.
Oh, he will.
And that's watch, get
he'll probably throw 100 of those yards to Jeff Caldwell, and then we'll be talking about how great he's going to be.
It's going to happen. He's going to throw over 250 in that third preseason.
Yeah, he's going to beat someone down the field on a nine route, and he's going to take it for six. And next thing you know, everyone's going to be calling for him to make the roster. Like they're just going to be like, cut whoever, bring this guy in.
He's going to go 70 deep to Caldwell.
Yeah, like And it'll be funny, but also at the same time, it'll be annoying because of what people texting in with ridiculous, he's going to be the next great wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I want the kid to succeed,
me
but
too.
He's a UDFA, and there's a reason why when you watch the tape that he's a UDFA. So, you know, let's temper our expectations, but definitely.
Not saying he can't make a team, because
right.
UDFA make teams all the time.
They make teams all the time. And, you know, so it's like, I hope he makes the team. If they can tap into that level of physical talent, that would be awesome. Because then, you know, that's kind of your supplementary, you know, receiver that we were hoping they would get in the draft. But, you know, am I betting on it? No. That's the part where it's like,
it's kind of like an unrefined Nick Harbor.
Yeah. Very unrefined. Very unrefined. Though Harbor is a unicorn. He's got like, 20 pounds on this kid? Similar height, but he's got like 20 pounds on him. And
runs elite track level speed.
Yeah, he's probably going to be at 4.3. Yeah. Probably, he's probably going to be like, you know, mid, maybe even low 4.3. Yeah. We'll see. But like I said, I just wanted to touch on the UDFAs here and, you know, just kind of see how see what we could be seeing in the future here at training camp. Coming up next, we will take your text questions on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line at 913-586-7965. Whatever questions you have about this draft class for the Chiefs or for the NFL, text us in on the text line and we'll answer them coming up next.
You're listening to the Character Concerns Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by Gann Asphalt and Concrete. Trusted in Kansas City since 1994. One contractor for all parking lot needs. By the Leavenworth PD. Step up. Stand out. Build your career at Leavenworth PD. Apply online today at leavenworthks.gov/police. This is your home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan.
And we're done with the with our NFL draft coverage for the season here on the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special.
Can hear Goodell now. Cardinals, you are on the clock.
So we're taking it could be the Cardinals, could be the Jets, could be Miami.
Like, Jets might have just a little too much talent, but I don't know. Maybe they don't have a quarterback, so
yeah. They're also the Jets. They've had years where they've had talent and they've
just
still
like
sucked.
When Cade Klubnik said, I had a dream. I woke up and I was going to be drafted by the Jets. Man, said no one.
It was a nightmare, bro. So get your questions in to us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. We will answer some of them. First one, is there any credence to the suspicion that the Chiefs thought that they could get Arvell Reese by trading up? I mean, at three, yeah. They probably thought they could get him if they went up to three. They just didn't want to move up to three because they didn't want to move either their 29 or their 40.
I mean, these reporters hearing that they were sniffing the move up, Albert Breer put it out too. He's a pretty reliable source. So, yeah, probably when you're picking ninth, everything's on the table, man. Calls to move back, calls to move up. So I'm sure it was discussed.
I think part of the question might have been, did the Chiefs trade up thinking that the Giants wouldn't take Arvell Reese at five and that we'd
absolutely
get him at six?
Not.
Because I've seen that.
No.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I've seen that floated out there
Brian
a lot.
Burns
that,
and Thibodeau
the Chiefs messed
and Abdul Carter.
Yeah, the Chiefs messed up by trading up to six thinking he'd be there. No, that's not what happened.
No.
Because the analytics would probably tell you maybe they won't take him because all the
I don't think
have.
The Chiefs – because, like, remember, you have to remember, the Chiefs made that trade – with the idea of Mansoor Delane. The logic was we're moving ahead of the Saints and the Commanders and getting Mansoor Delane.
Yeah.
It wasn't we're moving ahead because we think Arvell Reese is going to be here. Because the pick hadn't even been announced when the Chiefs had already agreed to the trade.
Cardinal Tate was still available.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I don't think there was a – if they wanted to get Arvell Reese, you move up to three.
Yeah.
By moving up to six, you were like, hey, and they already said, like, hey, we thought we were getting, we chose Mansoor Delane a month ago. So, yeah, I don't think that. Lance asked if he could be added to the Character Concerns crew. You have to be an employee here. Like, we don't just let anyone on the crew. You got to be an employee here.
Like,
and you
got to
start from the bottom. You got to start from the bottom.
I'm barely
Lance,
a part of it.
I'm shocked the Lance draft season. I'm shocked I didn't see a 27 draft from Mark, from Lance yet.
He probably will now that you brought it up.
Oh, no, he would have done it anyway.
Somebody asked us, what are our grades for the draft? I have B+. I think you were all of us were Bs, right? In the B range, like B+
I gave
range.
A solid B, yeah.
In the B range, but just remember, I hate draft grades because they don't matter. Ask me in 2 years what would grade this class.
Somebody said it seems like the Chiefs are engagement farming by UDFAing a bunch of freak athletes to stir up the fan base after many.
That's a Gen Z kid if I've ever heard one.
But. Yeah, definitely.
I don't think the Chiefs
No,
are
the Chiefs are not engagement farming. They're trying to find athletes.
They're trying to find the guy with the most aura, Chris.
Yeah, they're doing that. The most riz. They need that riz. Like,
whichever guy's going to get them the most views on.
Yeah.
The scouts
are asking coaches about their riz on campus. Like, that's what they're doing here. That's what we need to know right here.
How many girlfriends does this guy have?
How much aura farming does he do at practice getting ready for the game?
Does he mog?
I want to see. We gotta media know. Member ask each that.
Is he engagement farming,
Brett?
Is he in the gym looks maxing or not? Like, we need to know this. I need to know how serious is he looks maxing in the gym every day?
Go out to Arrowhead and ask each that.
No, they're not engagement farming. They're trying to find the best athletes. Someone asked, did you say that Mansoor Delane was the top corner prospect in a decade? That's what Albert Breer said the Chiefs thought they were getting is one of the top corner prospects of this decade. Yeah, they clearly think very highly about Mansoor Delane, like very highly, enough to trade up in the top 10 to go get him.
It's got to have consistency. A lot of people thought Sauce Gardner was the, quote, one of the best cornerbacks taken in the last decade, and he didn't. And that's iffy right there. Colts got fleeced on that deal.
Going back a decade, I think Jalen Ramsey's probably the highest graded, like, consensus. Like, this guy's going to go top five sort of corner. Maybe Sauce. I was a big Christian Gonzalez guy a few years ago. And,
Christian, yeah, big Christian was
and
good.
He's been great. He's great. The Commanders, unfortunately, took Emmanuel Forbes over him.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You know the guy who, though, I think I felt the strongest about at corner the last few years is Pat Surtain.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, like, we saw Sertan's dad play here.
And, I think he's probably the best.
He's awesome.
Top two.
Surtain, to me, is the best corner in the league. And I think he is on a Hall of Fame path with his level of talent and with his production thus far. He's incredible. And, yeah, I don't think I've felt a corner at that level in a long time.
I agree.
Someone asked, can you guys convince me that R. Mason Thomas isn't going to be a repeat of Felix? What do they like about him over Zion? His explosiveness off the line of scrimmage. They wanted to get someone who is more of a speed rush type.
Not going to lie, though, I did like Zion better.
Oh, me too. I wanted them to take Zion over him. I wanted them to take T.J. Parker over him. But, you know, unfortunately, T.J. was off the board at the time. And, you know, it seems to me like R. Mason was going to be the pick regardless. But, you know, the thing for them is that they needed someone who was going to be able to win quick, someone who could generate pressure quick and push the quarterback up into the pocket for their power rushers to then clean up and get those sacks. So that's the reason why they like R. Mason Thomas. Can I convince you that he's not going to be the next Felix on Udike Uzomah? No, I can't. Sorry.
Can't convince you. Edge rusher is one of the most specialized positions. It's one of those positions, if one guy's not playing in a game, that is not one of those plug and play either. Next man stand up. Edge rushers are such an elite skill to get to that level, to be an elite pass rusher. They're just thinking you can put somebody else in there. You can't do that. Just special guys. There's few special pass rushers and a whole lot of average.
Yeah. And, you know, for them, it's just like, you know, we're trying to maximize our picks. And I think they're going to go rotation more than they're going to go with, like, R. Mason is going to be a three-down guy. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe they do think
there's
he's a three-down
guy. There's a lot of people think, where's Gelati going to play? Gelati was a rookie of the year last year. Gelati's going to get snaps.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's good.
He's not going to be sitting the bench.
No, he's probably going to be their first, second-down guy. Like, third-round pick, they're not giving up on him. Now, you want to add a little bit more because Gelati probably doesn't have the same level of juice as a pass rusher that R. Mason Thomas does, but he's going to play. He played last year.
Specialized packages for these guys.
Yeah, like this is the reason why it makes a lot of sense why they wouldn't take an edge rusher at, you know, in the first round, because they're thinking, you know, hey, we still got Gelati. We just need a little bit of a supplement, a little bit of help there. Someone also brought up that since we drafted one wide receiver and it was around five, do you think the Chiefs will try and trade for a wide receiver? There are rumors that the Cardinals are willing to get rid of Marvin Harrison Jr. Same with the Jags and Brian Thomas Jr. We talked about this with Brian Thomas Jr. weeks ago because it had been thrown around that you could get him for a two. So pick 40 would have been the pick that you go and get him. I know you were a little hesitant about it because of the drops.
I like Brian Thomas in college a lot. Brian Thomas drops the football a lot. That's one thing the Chiefs get. Brian Thomas, he was in the doghouse here for a little bit, Jeff, because he drops the football. The concentration was a real problem with him. I understand the skill set, and I understand you see it. But how tired are you of Chiefs dropping first downs on third and eight? Brian Thomas has a lack of attention problems sometimes.
I think something was off there with those receivers in Jacksonville because Travis Hunter didn't do that great last year. And we saw Brian Thomas have a great year in an Andy Reid type system when Peterson was the head coach there. So it makes me wonder if something was off with the system.
As far as trading for receiver, yes. Do I believe the Chiefs could have a trade for receiver? I do. Because Orlando Brown, they didn't have a tackle. They had to go get one. They traded for Orlando Brown. I could see a move like that if they see OTAs and they're not satisfied with what they see with what they got because it's not much different from last year. I could see them making a trade. Not for these guys.
But. At this point, I don't think that's going to happen, and especially not with picks for next year's draft. Because right now the Chiefs have 10 picks for next year's draft. Two of those are compensatory. One is
now gone because they had an extra one, but the Justin Fields one.
Yeah. So right now they've got 10 picks in the in next year's draft. One of us is a compensatory fourth round pick, which was for Jalen Watson, I believe. And the other one was a compensatory seventh round pick. So right now they're looking really good as far as draft picks for next year goes.
And also note, you can sign free agents that don't hurt you. As of today, you can sign free agents now that don't hurt that formula for comp picks.
Which means you would sit here and you would probably expect Cam Jordan to come off the free agency list sometime soon if the Chiefs want to sign him. And then, you know, we'll see what happens with Tyreek later on
today
in the summer.
I've expected to see at least something.
Yeah, so. But it's been fun. This has been a lot of fun doing this draft coverage here. I've enjoyed doing the draft coverage for the years. This is in a row. This is what our fifth draft doing coverage together. And, you know, I always enjoy it. We're both very nerdy about this, and we very much get deep into the weeds on the players.
Arm length.
Yeah, arm length and all that stuff. And, you know, we talk about, hey, maybe don't worry about 40 times for running backs because they don't matter that much. But we also appreciate our listeners who stay with us from day one, the people that send us their mocks, you know, Lance, obviously there's Marco on Twitter that has been
Lance
sending us stuff
best,
now.
Man.
We just appreciate, and all the people that showed up last Thursday at the Brooksider.
They went to all of them with landing and
them all. We appreciate all y'all coming out and being a part of the show. We love the support. We love meeting y'all. We look forward to seeing y'all next year, wherever we do it at. Jackson Ogden, great work during this whole process.
You're
here.
Awesome, bro.
You've been great. You've been killing it. And looking forward to doing this next year. This has been the Character Concerns NFL Draft Special here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to the Character Concerns Draft Special with Jay Binkley and Chris Unicero. Brought to you by Gann Asphalt and Concrete. Trusted in Kansas City since 1994. One contractor for all parking lot needs. By the Leavenworth PD. Step up. Stand out. Build your career at Leavenworth PD. Apply online today at leavenworthks.gov/police. This is your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.